It's Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back. There's some new movement in the fight against HIV infection. A team of Michigan State University researchers has helped to identify a protein that appears to stop the virus from replicating. Now, it's doubtful the term endoplasmic reticulum class 1 will ever be the household terms that HIV and AIDS have become over the last 30 years, but that protein may one day be a part of clinical trials that might lead to a cure. At the same time, the World Health Organization has released new guidelines for the prevention and treatment of HIV. Here to talk about these advances is Dr. Yonghui Zheng. He's an associate professor with the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at MSU, and he's part of the team that helped discover the protein. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you.
Also joining us, Todd Haywood, an HIV activist and journalist here in the Lansing area. Todd, welcome back.
Good morning.
Dr. Zheng, we want to help a lot of non-scientists listening to understand what it is you've discovered. So let's try to keep this as simple as we can. The physical structure of the HIV-1 virus is fundamental to understanding this discovery. It has a protective skin around it, known as an envelope. And the envelope is the key element here that allows the virus to infect a host. Do I have that right?
A little bit different. So the virus has an envelope, and on top of the envelope, there's a protein called envelope glycoproteins. These are the proteins are very critical for the virus to infect cells.
Okay, and tell us about what you've discovered here.
Okay, so we identified this ERMAIN1 protein. Indeed, it was discovered by accident. So around 10 years ago, we selected a number of human T cells for HIV infection. Surprisingly enough, we found a particular cell line which is highly resistant to HIV infection. We spent a great deal of effort to understand why HIV cannot infect this cell line. So to make the story short, when we tested how HIV proteins were produced in these cells, we found one protein was missing. This protein is called viral envelope glycoprotein, which is localized on the surface of the virus and helps the virus to penetrate into cells and start an infection. How the envelope glycoprotein disappears in these cells was a mystery. Until last year, we discovered that ERMAN1 caused the degradation of this viral protein.
So ERMAN1 is the name of the protein?
Yes, so we call it ERMAN1, correct.
ERMAN1, and it is by and large an accidental kind of discovery?
Yes, so because we accidentally found HIV-resistant cell lines, and by understanding the mechanism, we found out this protein. So from the point of view, from the procedure of this discovery, I can't call it by accident.
Todd, you are HIV positive. You've done a lot of research on this topic, and I mean, to a large extent, you are living this. What's your reaction to the news that Dr. Zheng and his team may have discovered something truly significant here in East Lansing?
Well, I think, and I need to actually get a clarification here, Doctor, is this cell line an elite controller cell line?
It's not. But, the cell line we start to work with is a T cell. So the T cells are primary targets for HIV infection. So we cannot establish such cell lines from elite controllers. So that is a difficulty we have right now.
Okay.
It might help our listeners here to follow this. If Todd, you appear to understand what an elite controller cell line is. We were going to get to that eventually in the interview.
Right.
Explain what that is.
Elite controllers are a specific group of people who are infected with HIV who naturally keep the virus at bay. Their immune system doesn't seem to be impacted by it. So with the information that I now have, this is actually pretty exciting information in terms of identifying new routes towards drugs and targets. We've always known that this virus is really crafty at shifting and genetically modifying itself to be resistant to drugs that we have available. You know, we've got 7 classes of drugs available right now. What this discovery does is it opens an avenue towards something that's always there for the virus, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have that GP120 point on the virus in order to bond to the CD4 cell to infect it, or mm-hmm. the T cell. So by having that target and knowing a weakness, that allows us to look at possible drug treatments, which is really exciting. Now, the bad news is that science is very slow. So we're probably looking at 10 or 15 years before we see a human.
What about the timeline, Dr. Zhang? Do you feel, are you in general agreement with that? Are we looking at maybe a real breakthrough another decade down the road?
Les, I totally agree with Todd. So I think, I mean, from the WG discovery and to the real drug development, there's a bridge. So right now we just open a direction and we need to further to investigate how to make this target become a translational, I mean, drug, and how to treat HIV infection. So I think there's a time requirement there.
We're talking about recent advances in the field of HIV research, specifically the MSU team that is part of a group that's identified a protein that seems to prevent the HIV virus from replicating. Our guests are Dr. Yonghui Zheng, an associate professor with the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at MSU. Also with us today, Todd Haywood, a local journalist and HIV activist. You are encouraged by this here. I'm not sure you really finished the original question that I asked you here a couple of minutes ago.
Sure.
In broader terms, what do you make of this discovery?
Well, this is great. I mean, here's the reality. This virus has been around for 30 years, and it's a really crafty virus. Mm-hmm. So finding things like this where it's a universal weakness for the virus mm-hmm. is great for treatment options and decisions and ideas. So we have gotten to a point now, I think in the last probably 15 years or so, where we're really identifying new weaknesses in this virus that we just didn't have the science for the first 15 years of the epidemic to do it mm-hmm. with. So it's exciting.
This week, the World Health Organization issued new guidelines for preventing and treating HIV. One key recommendation is the daily use of something called PrEP. Do I have that right?
We've talked about that.
PrEP, and we have talked about this on your previous visit on the program, I believe. Pre-exposure prophylaxis. Remind our listeners what PrEP is and why it's important.
Sure. PrEP is the use of one of the antiretroviral drugs. It's actually a combination of two drugs, but it's one drug and a pill, called Truvada, mm-hmm. and that's the only one that's been approved by the FDA in the U.S., that has been found to be a minimum of 92% effective in preventing somebody who is HIV negative from getting infected with HIV if they take it daily. Now, the math models from NIH show that it will be 99% effective in preventing transmission. That's incredibly exciting. That is better than vaccines.
Now that you have identified this protein, Dr. Zhang, where is the future? Where are the next, are the coming months and years for you and your lab on this topic?
So I think the first thing we are interested to understand is the relevance of this protein in natural HIV resistance. So we are interested to know whether there is any correlation between the level of ERBM1 expression and the viral loads. We are expecting to see some kind of result, like the higher ERBM1, the lower viral loads, which could suggest that this protein plays a role during natural HIV resistance.
Are there other undiscovered proteins or molecular components waiting to be discovered like ERBM1?
I totally believe so. Yeah, ERBM1 could be a one, not the final. So I think we are all interested to develop more.
There's an ongoing study that originated in Europe, Todd Haywood, that's focusing on the impact HIV treatment has on reducing the risk of HIV transmission. It's called the PARTNER study.
Right.
Tell us about that.
That study has found, and they've studied thousands and thousands and thousands of partners and sex acts between them where one partner is positive and one is negative. And what they have found is that a person who is on successful treatment, and that's defined as somebody who takes their pills every day and has an undetectable viral load, which is a measure of amount of virus in your blood, is very unlikely to transmit the virus. Now, I have to use very unlikely to transmit the virus because that's the technical term. We always have to have the little leeway to play. But the reality is they've found zero cases of transmission of a person that's virally suppressed to a person who is HIV positive. Not one.
I'm going to wind you up with a question with a limited amount of time. I apologize in advance for that.
Sure.
But in 2015, I want to hear from both of you, how seriously does HIV threaten public health? Dr. Zhang?
I think currently 1.2 million people are infected with HIV in the United States. And in China, in 2014, 104,000 new cases are identified.
Over 100,000 in China.
Right. In China only.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Todd, what do you think? In 2015, where are we?
It remains a huge crisis. And in fact, it continues to disproportionately in the U.S. impact men who have sex with men. And that's a topic that we just don't talk about in public health right now. And it's a real crisis. Mm.
A sprawling topic. Hopefully we've shed a little bit more light on it here today. We've been talking about HIV research and new treatment guidelines issued by the World Health Organization. Thanks to our two guests. Todd Haywood is a journalist and HIV activist here in the Lansing area. Also, thank you to Dr. Yonghui Zheng, an associate professor with the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at Michigan State. Thanks to both of you for being here today.